Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
We were sat in the pub having a drink before the show. It was like a late matinee. It was like a 4 o'clock start.
Okay.
We were sat in the pub around the corner and I looked out the window and saw Ben Foster walking past.
The goalkeeper, the cycling GK.
Yeah. Cycling GK, yeah. And I said to Emma, oh, look, that's Ben Foster. He's the goalkeeper. Like, and she was like, who? And I was like, oh, actually, yeah, that's a bit niche for Emma.
Yeah. I can also tell you that Ben Foster, this was like I told you the other day, is the most capped England player. From, this is genuinely true, from Warwickshire. So, yeah, I don't know if I told you.
What's his competition? Do you know what his competition is?
There's not a lot of competition because I don't think he's had more than 10 or so caps. There's a few people with one cap. There's a few counties that haven't had any England caps, like Rutland, South Gloucestershire, Isle of Wight. For example, haven't had anyone, Isle of Scilly, haven't had anyone capped for England. So there was a thing online, it was a map of Britain, map of England, and every county had written in the county what band had sold the most singles, like from each county.
I've seen a couple of them. I've seen a couple of them.
So I really liked it, and I thought, I'm going to do my own one, but I couldn't work out how to write counties, write over counties on my Apple, because Apple Mac. So I don't really know how to use it. But there's some strange ones. Cambridgeshire, most capped England player, is David Bentley. But just, you wouldn't think it, would you? There's a few in there, which I was just completely surprised about. Because like Gary Lineker doesn't make that list because Peter Shilton. So the most capped player from Leicestershire is Peter Shilton, so not Gary Lineker. From the West Midlands, most capped player is Daniel Sturridge. Like, you think like Jack Grealish is only slightly behind him, but... There you go. Some Mark Wright, Gary Pallister, the most capped England player from Kent. Ben White is
Harry
the most.
Pallister. I think Gary Pallister had like a northeast.
Yeah, I thought he was connected up there, but then, Cornwall, Nigel Martin, Gloucestershire, Eric Dyer. Like, it's strange. It came out. It's quite interesting, but there's lots of players I don't know. Barry Bridges is the most capped England player from Norfolk, but. You know, I don't think anyone cares. I don't even care, and I made the list.
Do you listen to that Matt Ford and John Richardson comedians playing FPL podcast? Have you heard any of those?
No. What's FPL for a start?
It's one of the, I suppose I'm guessing one of the many versions of like the Dream Team fantasy.
Oh yeah, fantasy league, fantasy Premier League. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so they both play in the fantasy Premier League.
Yeah,
and then they've created their own mini league of their kind of comedian friends. So Beckett, Ian Sterling and that. So yeah, one podcast a week, they discuss how their teams got on. And then they have like a guest on, like one of the other people from their own little mini league.
Massively like Badil and Skinner's fantasy football.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. it's decent. It's good. It's good fun. Like Matt Ford's like shocking at it. But then like when you hear the way that he goes about picking his team, it's no surprise that he's shocking because he makes terrible decisions. But it's funny. It's good. But because I asked you the other day, didn't I? So you do a fantasy football team, didn't you?
I've got the Telegraph ones, which I don't check. I picked a team at the beginning of the season, but I've been a pay league, so I pay 20 quid, and it's called. I'm sure there's the anachronism is something, but it's the Fuckwit League. FUCWIT, and a guy sends emails, but he runs competitions within it. So there's like three leagues of 20 teams. You pay £20 and then you can win. I won 180 quid last year from Division 3. And then you have a cup competition. So it's whoever scores the most goals. You play against another team and whoever your players score one goal and their players score no goal, you go through to the next round. And each week, whoever's like the lowest scoring team goes out. And he does all different types of competitions, and there's transfer windows and you got to be on the ball with it. So, but then like, I had Grealish and Havertz, who are both 5 million. And I just thought, I don't like either of them. I don't know who I want to get rid of more. But you were saying about team names to me, weren't you, during the week.
Yeah, yeah, the team names are good on that thing, because like a lot of them are like puns, a lot of them are very pun based. But
yeah,
obviously we did like a mini league in the Oak a few years ago, didn't we? Where it was always good fun with the team names.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a market for a more competitive, or is this just me just sucking the fun out of stuff? where you can't all have the same player, like where
yeah, you can have a draft.
You limit the number. Yeah, limit the number of players in the league.
Mm.
So that there's only enough players for everybody to have one of each. And if you want Salah,
yeah,
you have to pay for him. And if someone pays more, then they get him. And,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. When you see people doing really well and you're like, oh, everyone had a good week because they've all got Mohamed Salah, it's a bit like,
yeah,
everyone's got the same team.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do like a draft at the beginning of the season and just pick teams. The league I'm in, they have like a limited transfer, so you can only pick players that haven't been picked before. So in your transfer window, you can't put in like Salah or Saka or, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, because they've already been picked by people. So you have to, but luckily, like people like Conor Gallagher and Livramento, who everyone is going to put in their fantasy league right now, it's like 2.1 million and they're up to 50 points kind of thing. So. Well, that's what I've done anyway. So if you're out there and you want to stick them in as well. But then Zoe's got a team now and she knows, she's got a limited knowledge on football, but will beat me this year, like quite easily and simply. And she'll ask my opinion on stuff. And I'm like, well, why are you even listening? You're like 20 places ahead of me in the league. But yeah. I think on paper...
Livramento sounds like a kind of name of a... You know, like in a footballer's wives.
Yeah. Like Julio Giordio, yeah.
Oh, no, who's the Villa? Matty Cash. It sounds like such a...
yeah, like...
from the name, if all of a sudden Coronation Street, like, yeah. wrote in, like a Premier League footballer into the storyline, yeah, called Matty Cash.
Because they got Matty Cash and Matthew Target, which are two like perfect names for Harchester United, aren't they? So this week, Mark, we're not talking about Premier League or Fantasy Leagues. We're talking about music, I think, for the first time, aren't we?
We've done music and movies, that's it, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, so yeah. I think I spoke to you before that I don't see you as a musical connoisseur, as say. I don't think I associate you with music at all, really. Other than that, you've got a lot of T-shirts, which I think, oh, that's a nice T-shirt. But
yeah,
I've never heard you say, oh, have you heard the new Skrillex album or something, you know?
No, very rarely I kind of hear something that I then sort of recommend or talk to people about, because I'm not up enough of it. I think I'm so far away from what's current when it comes to music and just don't know anything. Or anybody, so yeah, I enjoy it. I listen a lot, but my I think we've said it before. I think the main reason is if I listen to music, I find myself daydreaming.
Yeah,
and then before I know it, I start just thinking about work, and then I can't switch off.
Oh, right.
Other than when the time I'll listen to music is if I'm working at home. So if I am working, and that's when I'll have music on, because when I'm working, I can't have a podcast on, because I'll be working away and then half an hour later I'll think, oh, actually, that's a waste of time listening to that, because I've not been hearing what they've been saying. So, yeah, what music on while I'm working, the rest of the time it's podcast, because it helps me sort of focus on something else so I don't end up just stewing over sort of, you know, work-related strife.
Yeah, I can't listen to music and work. Like, so I'm doing assignments at the moment for a qualification through work. And if I listen to music, I listen kind of halfway for a song. I'm like, oh, I want to listen to the next song. That reminds me of that other song. I want to listen to that now, you know.
Need to start skipping around. And
yeah, so I have to put on an album where I can't change anything. So it'll be a Beatles album normally. But yeah, if I like some kind of music, so if I listen to like the Wu-Tang Clan or something, or like Dizzy Rascal or something along those lines, I find myself kind of practicing rapping along with it, which is, I can only do on my own because it's cringy as fuck, obviously. Do you know that Eminem song Rap God?
Yeah.
So that kind of fast bit in that, when he's like, someone, you're assuming I'm a human, what I got to do to get it for a deal, I'm superhuman, that kind of thing. Zoe played that to some kids at her school, and I was working there as well, and So she said, oh, Mr. Gibling can actually do that fast flow rap bit. So I'd have kids all the time going, oh, sir, can you do that rap god bit? And I'm like, no, no, definitely not. And then on my last day, this kid asked me, and I went, yeah, go on then, I'll do it. And I did it, and he just looked at me, like, not in awe, like I was a piece of shit, I think. Just like, why on earth have you done this? Why do you, like, what are you doing with your life?
When he asked you to do it, did you say, give me a beat?
Yeah, drop me a beat, cuz.
Give me a beat.
Yeah.
Oh, have you watched or been watching the new series of Dave?
Yeah, done it. Yeah, as soon as it came out.
Yeah, it's quite hard. It's like hard going compared to the first one.
Yeah, but then that last episode, the last 4 minutes, just makes it all worthwhile. Like how much you.
I've only seen the first three or four, so I only noticed it was on there.
Yeah, because it's on the iPlayer and Disney Plus. It's I think it's really underrated. I think it's one of the best sitcoms I've seen for a long, long time, and that's why I was going to say to you about doing underrated sitcoms next week, because I think, well, I wouldn't say Dave now, but yeah, that last kind of 5-10 minutes ties it all together like brilliantly. I like all the characters, and I think there's a new series of Atlanta coming out as well. I like Atlanta as well. Have you watched all of Atlanta yet?
No, none.
Oh, right. It's the Donald Glover kind of thing. But then the rapper in that is, I'm not sure of his name, and the rapper's called Paperboy. And then we went to the cinema yesterday to watch, I want to say Eternals, which was shocking. It's a new Marvel film, and it's all like Greek gods that can't die. And like, it was shit. It was full on awful. And like, me and Zoe were just having a chat in the back row because there was not many people around us by the end of it. And then, you know, those cut scenes. And I thought, oh, I want to stay to see a cut scene. And I just went, I'm going to go. This is, like, I didn't even care about the ending. Not even well made. I hate it in superheroes movies when they're talking. They're standing around, like, having a chat about things or trying to have, like, put a bit of comedy into it. I think, God, you can shoot lasers from your eyes. Just go fuck off and do something of that nature. You know, like Batman versus Superman. You know, Superman had a meeting at one point. He was actually in a meeting. So this week is season 2, episode 2, and we are talking about our funniest moments in music. So how did your brain work about choosing clips for this, Mark? Did you have ones ready? Because it took you longer than normal, which worried me.
Yeah, because all I could find myself thinking about was Jermaine Douglas.
Well, that's what kind of inspired me to choose that subject. Jermaine Douglas.
Yeah, and then there was a few that were really too niche things that I remembered seeing briefly, ones that were just didn't exist as a clip that we might end up kind of chatting about as we go along.
Okay.
And then I kind of had a few in mind that I was sort of chucking around and then just kind of went for it. I think generally speaking, most of the things, again, off the back of the Jermaine Douglas thing,
yeah,
they're quite mean-spirited. I don't think they're necessarily funny more than like awkward, embarrassing.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. Should we jump straight into one of your clips?
We didn't have a check for this song, so we'll just say it went to number one, and that's what it is. Okay. We're missing some of this logo, but it is what it is. But I like the way. I'm gonna say, let the audience sing, okay? We didn't have a sound check for this New Year's, baby. That's okay, you guys. Girls. Put these monitors on, please. All right, just for laughs, take a lift.
Yeah.
just don't get any better.
Absolutely excellent. So that was Mariah Carey's, this is what the video is actually called, Mariah Carey's awful performance on New Year's 2016 in Times Square. And yeah, that is just a car crash, isn't it? Like, what made you think of that one, mate?
I remember hearing about it at the time, but I never actually saw it until, it was probably quite a long time later until I actually saw it. And but she's like renowned for being a pain. Well, she's the classic diva, isn't she? With like,
If you say diva, that's who they.
The thing where she has to be lying down in a particular position for interviews and stuff, and all that stuff you hear about her. but when I was looking for it, I saw another clip of her. I think the title of the clip was that, like, her and Nicki Minaj falling out.
When on Pop Idol or something, or X Factor,
American Idol, yeah. I didn't see any evidence of that, but there was a bit where, you know, like the X Factor and Pop Idol have a habit of doing, the bloke that came onto audition in front of him had a really severe stutter.
Right.
And he just finally sort of introduced himself and said who he was, and then it just cut to Mariah Carey and she said, the way that you talk, is that something that you're working on?
Oh, God. Jesus. Yeah. That first song, is it Emotion she's singing there? When that high bit, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you can hear it in the background, but she's, the microphone's nowhere near. So she must use that as kind of help, to help her through it. And then the second song, she's literally just miming, isn't she? I'm not even trying.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say is probably TV, like news footage and it going kind of on social media. If it wasn't for that, I don't think, well, no one would think anything of it, because the crowd just seems to be completely oblivious, because they're in Times Square in New York, so that it's not your sort of eclectic music crowd, is it, on a sort of New York New Year's Eve Times Square gig?
Yeah,
just people who just want to be there for the event. Probably a lot of people would hardly even notice that anything was going wrong.
Even
the bit where she starts bringing in the dancers to start sort of lifting her, even that looks like it's just going to shit as well.
It looks like she's just pulled up six or seven people off from the crowd to like help her just be on stage and just be near me. Like, we'll put all these same suits on. But yeah, have you ever been to New York? Have you ever done that New Year's Eve?
No, I've been to New York. I've not for New Year's Eve. We went to Times Square because you do, don't you?
Yeah.
But it's only once you've been there that you kind of realise there's not a great deal to see there, other than sort of
lots of shops
so tat.
Yeah, just shit. And there's a Toys R Us that's got a big wheel in it. Yeah. But we went to New Year's Eve. Yeah. I don't know, man. It must be 8 or 9 years ago. And we went with the specific of going to Times Square for New Year's Eve. And we woke up about 8 or 9 in the morning, I turned on the telly, and it was like people were already there in Times Square. So Zoe and I were like, well, we've come here for that. We're going to have to go there. So our hotel was literally next door. You could see Times Square out the window kind of thing. So we went down at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we went into a pen. And after a couple of hours, you kind of get to know people, talk to people around you and stuff. But they were like, I said, oh, shall we go get some, like a coffee or something, and I'll come back. And they said, if you go, you can't come back. So you are just there now. So we had little resources that we're warm enough, basically, but you can't go and come back. So we were there till midnight. And I think 12:02, we were on our way home because it was horrific. And you turn around and there was four women in a square with like their blankets they were wearing, covering up a woman who was just shitting into a drain. you don't see that on the when Jenny McCarthy is wearing that big tall hat. But our year,
they could do that instead of that ball dropping. Just
10 all standing around there clapping. So yeah, the bands we saw were Train, which was quite good actually. I like Drops of Jupiter, because obviously they only play like one or two songs.
Oh yeah,
Train were decent, and then they had some like Jersey Boys stuff, and then Carly Rae Jepsen, Taylor Swift was the headliner, I think. But then it was the year of Gangnam Style, right? And we knew kind of from hearing the sound check that Mariah Carey clearly didn't go to, that Psy was going to be there. So, and I thought halfway through the Psy song, Gangnam Style, I started hearing too legit to quit. I thought, that's fucking MC Hammer. That's maybe he's like doing a bit of a mashup with that or dancing to that. And then on the night, obviously, Psy and MC Hammer. And I thought, you know, my 11-year-old self would have thoroughly enjoyed this. Too legit to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, and then like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, great, you know, yeah, ticker tape and stuff. I'm like, I've got to go. I can't, I need a poo. Happy New Year, but let's get back to the hotel. Yeah, it was, I wouldn't recommend going there. A lot of people go and like, you pay $200 going into a bar and it's just basically help yourself. I think that's a better way of doing New Year's than yeah. standing in the freezing cold, listening to a shit Mariah Carey.
It is a problem now, I think, with those sort of places to go and places to be is just, I think it's like just only going to get worse because the fact that more and more now, because it's like that globalization and everyone yeah. being able to see everything and know everything, those places that once would have been sort of only a handful of people there, even the little sort of hidden gems and secrets are just, you would imagine, would be full of yeah. people now. You know, the classic ones are like pyramids and the Grand Canyon and that,
yeah.
that you see the pictures of it, you see on the TV. When you go there, you're just stood in a crowd of tourists, aren't you? With like,
it puts me off so much. I love
it in the toilet, coffee shop, and everything there.
Yeah, I love traveling, but everyone who tells me to go, like, has been to one of the wonders of the world, just tells me how shit it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think you said on a previous podcast, like, the pyramids, you get a really nice view on top of the KFC that's next door to it now.
Yeah. Just,
and then like, I worry about pickpockets and stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't go to like Trafalgar Square for New Year's Eve because I wouldn't like it. I don't like crowds the best of times, but I don't think I'd go, but I would tell people not to go to Times Square. I remember someone saying that Ricky Martin was supposed to be there and they were having a chat with this Australian guy. And this Australian guy was asked if Ricky Martin was gay. And he went, mate, Ricky Martin is as gay as a purse full of rainbows.
We watched fireworks just leaning out the window at home last weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go down to a park at sort of 7 o'clock at night and then have the nightmare of trying to then calm Dolly down and get her to bed on time. Like I was like, she was in the bath and I heard him going. I looked out the window, found a little angle where I could get a good view of him.
So yeah.
I just picked her up out of the bath, wrapped her in nice warm towel and we just kind of sat on the window sill watching them out the window. Perfect.
Yeah, but then like sure
anyway,
when you get older she'll remember that more than going to a bloody, you know, fireworks display, I think.
Yeah,
because we're quite lucky where we are because like we can see the River Severn and both bridges from our back garden because we're up a hill, so we can see all fireworks happening over Bristol and it's really nice every year, like even like the hot air balloon festival and stuff, you can, you know, it's small but you can see it. Yeah. And then there was a fireworks display in Chepstow and we literally went down to the bus stop on the hill and just sat that, and Zoe had a flask of mulled wine which we shared and sat there for an hour like, having a chat and watching the fireworks. You know, I don't like going to mass gatherings, and at the moment, especially like coming out of COVID and shit, that I'm not really bothered about it at all. I hate like where's your mask chat.
Oh, I got shamed on the train yesterday.
Oh no.
Bearing in mind, I've been going in and out of London like 3, 4, maybe even 5 times a week for like the best part of like 2 years now, like off all of this COVID, like constantly wearing a mask all the time, keeping it on the train, in and out of buildings and everything, like try and sort of observe it as much as I can. And then we got on the train yesterday to go to London to watch Six, and it was busy. There was a few late trains and cancellations. So we ended up on a train that was kind of full.
Yeah.
It's only about 25 minutes to Paddington from where we are. But so Emma sat down. We walked up the aisle and there was one odd seat. So Emma sat in it and I just stood in the aisle next to
her. Yeah.
I had a drink. So I had my mask on and I pulled it down to my chin while I was sipping my drink. And then me and Emma were chatting.
Mm.
I would say less than half of the people in the carriage didn't have masks. So I think because I'd pulled mine down to have a drink and then just didn't see hardly anybody wearing them, I just didn't think to pull it back up. There was a bloke sat in front of Emma, window seat. And a couple of times, I saw him looking round at us, and then looking back, and then looking around, and then looking back. And then when we got to Slough, he got up as he sort of shuffled past the woman that was in the aisle seat. He sort of came towards me and he went, and he's really annoying way he spoke. He said, you know, when people speak in that, that like overly oldie English, excuse me, good sir, but it would be remiss of me to not point out to you that your mask would be more effective if you wore it over your nose and mouth. And straight away, I just said, oh, yeah, sorry, put it up. I looked ahead at the way he was walking to get off the train and saw about 40 people without masks on. And I just said to him, you better get a move on if you're going to see everybody else before you get off the train. And then he just said, oh, I'm just trying to save the world one person at a time.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, and Emma, as he walked off, Emma just went, he's the person that you'll see on the news next week, and he's going to have said that to someone else and been beaten up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's quite brave of him to call you out on that, Mark. I think you're quite an imposing looking person. And to, I think, but then also, just fuck off. Just stay out of people's business. I'm all for mask wearing and stuff, but only because I've got to do it all the fucking time. It really winds me up. Like, obviously at work, I've got to wear a mask all the time. We've only just started getting rid of the shields as well. So
I don't know why he picked me. Maybe like not having a mask at all, he would just give them the benefit of the doubt that they might be exempt. But the fact that I had one on and wasn't wearing it properly, but just like I say, it slipped my mind. But then as he walked off, there was a woman next to me on my right, and I just said, oh, do you want his seat? I'm happy to stay standing.
Yeah.
And she walked past and she made a bit of a kind of derogatory comment about him to me, right, and then laughed. she sat down, and I said to her, yeah, I thought I better be polite. I don't want to end up on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the worry,
Emma,
isn't it?
Emma did the classic, though, which we were saying afterwards, is always an easy, it always works if you just drop it in at the right point. You can use it a lot of times. When I said I don't want to be on the internet, and the woman laughed, and then Emma just waited for the pause and then went, yeah, not again.
Yeah.
And it's just such an easy
yeah,
such an easy laugh, but you use it at the right time. Do you remember that? I don't know if I showed it to you or just shared it in general. A couple of years ago, I saw a tweet that someone had retweeted, and it was from someone, from an American person.
Mm.
And they just put a general kind-hearted message on Twitter that said, any advice for an American visiting London for the first time this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Just to everybody.
Yeah.
And the first reply was someone said, yeah, get out of my fucking way.
They're brilliant. And like, we're taking Zoe's dad out for a Chinese meal for his birthday. So Zoe put on the internet today, on like the Chepstow surrounding areas site or whatever, what's the best Chinese restaurant in the area? And the first comment come back was a woman who said, I wouldn't know, I only get takeaways. Well, what's the point of you? Just don't type anything.
Yeah.
Okay, some people are absolute dickheads, aren't they? I went to play golf yesterday for the first time in quite a while, so I was absolutely terrible. But my mate who lives in the village, Alan, he's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. And he's like cool as fuck as well. But he's probably in his 60s. He's really nice. He's got about 8 jokes, but he tells them very well. And he's in charge of the social media for the golf club. And he purposely winds people up. It's brilliant. It's such funny to see. And he loves it. And he put, during the petrol crisis, don't worry, like all our buggies are fully stocked with petrol. Better get down here before Greta Thunberg stops us, right? And he said it was like a tidal wave of people going, this is the wrong time to be doing this. If this is the kind of humour that will be happening in the club, I will not be joining. And then I said to one woman, oh, maybe you need to get a sense of humour. And he goes, that was one of the worst decisions I've made. Just a bereft of abuse. Oh, when me and my friends go to the comedy club, we always have a good time. And they're all funnier than you. I'm thinking, of course, they're professional comedians. he's a golfer down at Monmouth Golf Club playing off 28. You know, but I think if you're in charge of the Twitter from somewhere, I like all that kind of when McDonald's and Burger King are having a bit of a a funny argument and stuff. I like reading them.
Yeah, well, have you seen the thing about the who the KFC Twitter account, how many people KFC follow?
No.
So they're obviously followed by millions.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it up on my phone now to show you to see if it's still the same. It's quite a good little gag. So right. KFC, 1.5 million followers.
Right.
But they only follow 11 people.
Okay.
Jerry Halliwell, right. Mel B, Emma Bunton, Melanie C, Victoria Beckham, and then 6 people called Herb.
Very well, very good.
Software is all about. The whole last 2 minutes can just be completely wiped out. Leave this bit in. People will be like, oh, I wonder what they were talking about.
Yeah,
transgender issues.
Yeah, we're back on that. I'm glad we left it in that last week, though. And then I played it to Zoe.
Yeah.
And she said, like, oh, no, you've not done anything wrong there. A couple of times you shouldn't have said that. Like, something, I said race card. I shouldn't have said playing the race card. She didn't like that. But there you go. I rewatched Perez Hilton in his highlights from Celebrity Big Brother. And he is a fucking cockney.
Yeah.
And he's going, first time I've ever felt sorry for Katie Hopkins. And he's going like, oh, because when Katie Hopkins first got with her now husband, he was already married. And he just keeps like asking her questions of like, oh, and you fucked that married man kind of thing. And I thought, oh, that's really horrible. Like, no need to bring that up. But then also it must be a great thing to have in your locker when she starts going off on one.
Yeah. You know, when that Alec Baldwin thing happened a couple of weeks ago with the shooting on that film set.
Right.
Good morning, Britain.
Yeah.
They went for Perez Hilton was one of the people, you know, like they have like Zoom people dialing. And I just thought, why him? Like he's an LA person. Like,
yeah.
So he's in and around Hollywood, but surely there's better people. And then at one point he started saying, oh, I'm part of the Hollywood fraternity. I've got a, you know, I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
So I was thinking, I don't think I've seen you in anything apart from Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, or just playing himself as a twat on things. Your blood like when it freezes, just like ice. That the cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think you will never win? Look at me, I'm a coming back again. Got a taste of love in a simple way. You need to know I'm still standing. You just fade away. You know I'm still standing there and I ever did. Like a true survivor, feel like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time. Back on up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Once I never could have hoped to. You're starting down a road and leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down. If a love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. You know, I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all that time. Back on up the pieces. Right, that's enough of that. So Elton John, after some major dental work, it seems, singing I'm Still Standing on, I think it was a thing put together by Lady Gaga during the first lockdown. And I feel like a camera turned up at his house and said, can you do I'm Still Standing for Lady Gaga? And that is what he did. Vic Reeves doing Elton John doing I'm Still Standing. It's fucking terrible, isn't it? It's awful.
Yeah. It's I like that. I'm glad it was that particular clip, because when you said you were gonna sort of do that, I was like, I hope it's the one where someone's put those subtitles on it. Like, sounds like he's saying.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like you can't say S's. It's, they're all D's. So
yeah.
And when he says, like, backing up the bit, it's full club sing around Shooting Stars. Obviously, like Elton John, a massive artist, one of the biggest selling artists of all time. Like, he sold more records than the Beatles, but obviously his records were more like easily available. Because I watched that and I paid for my sister's 40th birthday, 250 quid for her to go see him. And I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, it's going to be the worst night of her life. It's cost me the most I've ever spent on someone as a present.
I'm sure I've seen him performing like around that time and since, where it hasn't been as bad. Like when I first saw that, I thought, oh no, like he's done. He's lost it. But I think I've seen him since where he hasn't sung like that. It must have just been a bad day, maybe.
Yeah, and well, the fact he's not ready for it. He's in his garden. Who put that piano in the garden next to the basketball hoop? He just looks like an old lady now, doesn't he? There was a full video today of like he was singing at a restaurant in Cannes, but he was singing. Have you heard his song with Dua Lipa? Which is just a like
probably not.
It's just a mashup of two different Elton John songs. So
I have heard that. Yeah, I heard it on the radio the other day.
I'm not going to play it because I really... But it's kind of gearing up because he has never had a Christmas number one and he's going to have a Christmas number one this year, basically, with Ed Sheeran, isn't he? I think this is time for those sausage roll guys to possibly try and beat him again. That'd be brilliant. John never had a Christmas number one due to Lad Baby? Yeah, Lad Baby. Oh, like, understandably, like I say, a really good artist. I love them. Have you seen Rocket Man, the film?
No, we nearly watched it a couple of weeks ago, but then as we were looking through Netflix and the various other platforms to select a film, like Emma was like nearly falling asleep just during the process of trying to choose a film. So I said, let's wait until we're actually ready.
I like a singer's biopic because obviously you get back into their music.
Yeah,
I think the Queen one is the only one I haven't liked, I think. But I felt very aware that Brian May was paying for the film because it was very much how great our Queen and how great... Oh, like when they first played Bohemian Rhapsody, they showed lots of like cuttings from newspapers of how terrible the song was and stuff. I thought there's no need for that. Like you're just like... And it's like Alan Partridge's book like that. And then guess who got the last laugh kind of thing. But yeah, Rocket Man's really good. Obviously, any film which is directed by Dexter Fletcher from Press Gang is gonna do well, isn't it?
How many? Because we touched on doing like
biopics.
Very early on in doing this. That was one of the ones that someone said we should do, wasn't it?
Yeah, Heidi Chilton, I think. Yeah, told us to do singers. Maybe we could come on to that because I like quite a few of them. Is there any you've seen that you like? Or...
Well, I don't know. I struggled at the time to think of like ones that I've seen, but I reckon they'd be ones that someone else would have to prompt me, and then I'd sort of... I remember seeing the Ritchie Valens La Bamba one with... Is it Lou Diamond Phillips that's in it?
Yeah, Los Lobos, La Bamba, isn't it? Yeah. That's good. I think more modern times. Have you seen Ray Charles, Jamie Foxx? That's good.
I haven't actually. No, that's the sort of thing I would usually watch, but I didn't know.
Walk the Line?
Oh, yeah. Walk the Line. Yeah, true.
I think Walk the Line's the best one out there. Are there many bands you've seen more than once or you've kind of followed? I know you're a big Springsteen guy, or your family are.
I've seen Springsteen a few times, like as a youngster when I would go with my dad, and then only once. An adult. I didn't go enough. I'd strongly recommend anyone sort of younger to sort of go and watch things like that more. I think I was really guilty when I was younger of just like the booze came first. I didn't go to as many events as I could because if I had 50 quid to spare, it would go on a night in the pub rather than something memorable. I suppose a combination of that and football, you know, because I was so into the football. It's hard. Once you're sort of committed to go into football regularly, all of a sudden it's hard to then afford other stuff as well. So I've not been to many. I've been to like a decent and quite a broad range as well over the years of like things that I've seen.
Have you ever left one? Have you ever gone to see a band and thought, oh, this is awful?
No, I suppose that comes with the territory of not going to many. So when I do, it's one that I'm sure about, you know, so there's no gambles in there.
I went to see The Strokes. They were the most underwhelming band I've ever went to see. I really like The Strokes. Loved that album, the This Is It album. And then after about, I don't know what song it is, but it's kind of like, this is not enough. This is the worst song in the world. It's kind of, they've just sucked the life out of the room. And I thought, this is actually shit. Can you just play Last Night so I can go home? Like, it was, but it's not, yeah. I think when you've paid so much money to see someone, I think you're very brave to go see someone that you've only heard a little bit on YouTube. Because I think investing an entire night on something, you know, you go to cinema, watch it 2 hours, but, you know, it's not too much trouble going to the cinema. There's lots of cinemas. But going to see a band, there's obviously not as much around where I am now. I think the biggest band from around here is EMF, you know, and your unbelievable fame. Me and Dave Taylor went to see quite a few bands together, I think mainly through birthday and Christmas presents. I need two tickets to go see someone because I'd take Dave with me and he'd kind of do the same. So we went to see like The Verve and Stone Roses. But the best band, I think he'd probably agree with me, would be the Flaming Lips live. They're absolutely outstanding. I'm not a massive fan of their music. I like two or three songs. They put on such a show. Like, he comes out in a big like bubble and walks around the crowd, and like there's 20 little people on stage dressed as Father Christmas and dressed as aliens, and there's always something to be looking at or something's going on, and whilst they're playing their music. And it was, absolutely unbelievable. If you ever get a chance to see the Flaming Lips, go see the Flaming Lips. But like, if Oasis reformed, would you bother trying to go see him?
I thought about this a few times. I reckon it would be very much like the Wonders of the World syndrome, that in your head it would be better than in reality, because there would be a lot of people there that you didn't want to be spending time with. So I would be tempted just for the, but I think if I'd had a few beers and I'd just finished watching like the Supersonic documentary,
that's really good,
I'd actually be saying yes. I think in the middle of a week when I was at work and sort of other more important things on my mind, I probably would say no. I think I saw almost their last gig before they split. So I think, were you at V when they split?
Yeah, they played Leeds and then they split up overnight, go on their way to Chelmsford, and then didn't turn up at Chelmsford to play the V Festival we were at.
So I'd seen the last night of like a 4-night run at Wembley, which was the last gigs before they went off to do those festivals. So, which I'm kind of glad that, because I liked them for so many years, and then again, because I never could drag myself away from just going down the pub.
Yeah.
I always missed out on the opportunities of going to see them. Mm. And then I finally did kind of bit the bullet and went to see them at Wembley on that Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, I heard that they'd split up for good. And I was like,
all right. Thank God. Yeah.
So I almost feel like that was almost like meant to be a little bit. Like I just sneaked it in time. And
they were waiting for you. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go again.
I saw them in 1998 and it was the What's the Story tour. I think it was Earl's Court I went to see them.
Yeah.
And they were supported by The Verve. And The Verve basically played Urban Hymns in order because it had just come out. And then Oasis played, obviously had less songs. They're better songs to kind of choose from, their first two albums. And then I thought, it can't really get any better than that. I wouldn't want to go see Oasis again.
We've had a power shortage or something, so we'll move on to the next item. And Martin Parr is one of Britain's leading photographers, known for his innovative colour work and for creating a new school of British documentary photography. We'll do it. We'll sort it out in a minute. His latest book, The Cost of Living, chronicles how the comfortable classes spend their time and money. But like some of his previous work, the latest photographs are controversial. Critics allege he's exploiting his subjects rather than making social commentary.
Amateurs!
He has already agreed to take two of the photographs out of his current exhibition after complaints from the people in them.
Excellent. So that is the Stone Roses on the Late Show, where there's a power cut and they can't perform anymore. And Ian Brown is clearly unhappy about it, starts shouting amateurs. While this poor lady, who is fault it, who it isn't, turns and, oh, don't worry, we'll sort it out. Like, like it's a school assembly gone wrong, you know. it's fantastic. Isn't it? I love the fact Ian Brown in the background there is just making sure he's on telly still to be shouting stuff out. You can see him looking at the monitor so he could be even angrier.
Amateurs is obviously the headline sort of down by it. But the better bit is just in the early stages where it's just that indecipherable sort of moaning.
And to be your first TV performance, you know, it must be kind of a big deal and you must be quite nervous about it. And then for it to go wrong and then attack the show rather than like go, oh, that was awful. Because I know I'd fully be like backstage thinking, we're never going to play on telly ever again, rather than go, amateurs, amateurs. This poor woman. Yeah.
Adulterer.
Ian Brown, obviously being the face of it all, really sums up their kind of attitude and stuff, and obviously of the time as well, that earlier 90s kind of, you know, not giving a fuck about what people think. Or I think that really spoke to me, if you know what I mean. And kind of Oasis picked up where they left off. But I loved Stone Roses and Ian Brown especially. And but I went to see Ian Brown on his own once. not like, you know, he was playing the University of Hatfield. And I just thought, oh, mate, it's great that you're here, but also don't come here. Like, sing F-E-A-R and then probably go home, mate.
That kind of hearing him sort of shouting and complaining in the background, it wasn't a clip necessarily that I was going to pick for this, but it did remind me. There's a bit in that Oasis Supersonic film where Letterman is introducing Oasis.
Right.
And like Liam Gallagher's doing that, like the cameras, the classic, just very relatively close up sort of, you know, the desk Letterman as he's introducing him. Liam's like shouting stuff across. Like, I think it's along the lines of like Letterman says something like, these guys are reportedly the biggest thing in the UK at the moment. And then like, Liam's like, not reportedly.
Is that where he's quite visibly drunk and he's let it go. He's kind of he spits on stage. He does one of those big dribbly spits that you can suck back in. And then he's just, do they do Champagne Supernova? And he just goes, in a Champagne Supernova, up your bum. Oh, I'll dig that out if I can find it. But that might be that Letterman show. Oh, I don't know how bands put up with people like that. Do you know what I mean? If you're Bonehead or Griggsy and it's your livelihood depend on this fucking idiot in front of you who's spitting and shouting up your bum at people and just like encapsulated a time, but almost like the era changed because of him almost, not he was part of the era. You know what I mean? People, the amount of people that used to like that, Harry Enfield sketch sums up perfectly. A lot of people started doing that. I know because I was one of them. I'd see Liam Gallagher in a Berghaus coat and like, I've got to get a Berghaus coat now, you know. I was in a really fucking shit band and I wore felt Kangol hats and a less rain jacket zipped up to the top under hot lights.
Wasn't that-
and like, I went specially to Camden to buy some glasses that had yellow. Oh, I fucking hate myself. Oh dear, it's hard to bring up. It's like eating a cactus.
I think maybe that's a good advantage of me never being fully paid up like music fan, is that I don't think I ever tried to emulate anyone. Maybe there was a couple of times where I went dangerously close to wanting to wear clothes like West Coast gangster rappers.
Yeah. when I went to back to Welling Garden and I had a Wu-Tang t-shirt on and some high top Jordans and a baseball cap, like a golf hat with a, you know, the P golf hats you have now. And Wayne Dollymore, my friend, he came in and went, "You look like you should be in Brighton." It's going, yeah, I kind of get what you're getting at. Just, the clothes I think I feel comfortable in, but yeah, maybe they don't suit a 39-year-old overweight ginger man from Welling Garden City, but I'm going with it. God, it's tough, isn't it, when you think about what you did at school, what you used to do. Yeah. Like, I get quite bad anxiety now thinking about who I am, let alone looking back on it, thinking, oh, you did that. You actually did that in front of people and thought it was good. Yeah. I think
I've not got many of those.
I think I was mainly in the band because I could remember lyrics, and on one famous occasion, which Greg, my friend, won't let me forget, when I just completely forgot the lyrics to a song. And then just stood there, just looking out, not really moving because I didn't do that. I think, because I could remember lyrics and things, and I owned a microphone, which was part of a karaoke set that my sister had. I think that was the two, the remit for me being in this band. Oh, God, fuck off.
Have you got any actual names of bands that we can laugh at?
We had Joe Tavakoli was our guitar player, and he was really good, actually. And I don't know how old we were. It must have been like fifth year. But basically, we used to practice in his garage, and it was like fun, you know, like playing five-a-side or something. You're just kind of messing around and trying tricks and flicks and stuff. But like, we tried to kind of learn songs, and it was mainly like Charlatans, Oasis, like things. So the two band names we were undecided about were Omega 64 was one, and the other one was Luma Cult. Okay. Omega 64 was written on Joe Tavakoli's lawnmower. And Luma Colt was on a bicycle pump.
Oh, Macho Man have come to town. This is when we really get down to business, sweating and going mad.
Burn, baby, all my energy. Burn, baby, all my fantasy.
No talent whatsoever.
What are you?
Penis.
Right, so that is Boyzone's first appearance on the Late Show. Big deal in Ireland, isn't it, the Late Show? Yeah. But obviously never, ever seen it myself. So why have you chosen that, mate?
Credit Emma Rockall.
Excellent.
Yeah. She was very quick when I mentioned it to her. She was the first one she said, and I was straight away, I was like, oh, yeah, definitely, because I remember really laughing at that for years.
Yeah.
And it had just obviously gone out of my mind. So the minute she said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's straight in. But because I think she was saying she must have seen a program or something on the TV before where apparently that was forced upon them. They didn't know they were going to have to do that.
Yeah. It was like on Before They Were Famous or something like that, wasn't it? They showed that.
One of the YouTube clips is actually the Before They Were Famous with Angus Deaton doing his bit. And it's actually quite funny because Angus Deaton's good with his
deadpan,
the dry bit. And then there's a bit, they cut halfway through the dance routine, they very cleverly cut in a little blank screen that just says 1 hour later. And then they're still dancing.
Yeah, because the guy who's the presenter of the show, who done it for years and years, I don't know what his name is. Yeah, no problem.
Gay Byrne.
Yeah, well done. He is like, he's hammering them, isn't he? And he's like, oh no, they've got no talent. Oh no, they don't sing. Oh no, they don't play instruments. They're a boy band. And it's just, that is set up for them to fail, isn't it? And they are just like strippers who don't take their clothes off, really, aren't they? And I feel most sorry for the two blokes who are on stage there who didn't make it into Boyzone. There's two blokes there, and it's a Keith Duffy. He's not on stage there. They must have found him after that. The lucky man.
Keith Duffy was in that, wasn't he?
Keith Duffy. I don't know. Was he?
Keith Duffy was in. Was he Jeans and Braces?
Who's the right? So, can you name all of Boyzone?
What do you think?
Michael Graham, yes, is not on stage dancing, but is part of the band. It's cringy as anything, isn't it? I felt very sorry for them because, you know, what they go on to achieve, they're the kind of like almost the pride of Ireland sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Boyzone, Westlife, you know. Obviously sold a lot of records, and they've had some good songs. I wouldn't buy one myself. I understand why people, it's one of those things, I understand why people do like them, but I don't.
No. Dancing is very much a cross between the podium dancers you would see in a nightclub in the 90s.
Yeah, like a Ministry of Sound type place.
And then those adverts for like Chatback that you used to see.
08, 9, 8, 50, yeah. God, yeah. It's like I say, really cringy. But I think Ronan King would be all right with it. I think he'd go, yeah, I think that's fine. You know, I think Reeves and Mortimer did this sketch where Bob was Noel Edmonds and Vic was Dave Lee Travis. And he tries to embarrass him on stage, like, oh, look, here's a picture of you looking slightly different. And he's like, oh, no, don't. I don't think that would happen with them. I think that's kind of part of their journey. I think they'd almost be proud of it. Like, well, you know, if me and Ronan Keating, me and you said to Ronan Keating, look how stupid you are in this video, I'd imagine he'd throw £1,000 at my face.
or he'd play the long game and he'd wait 20 years until we're famous. And then
His voice and some of the lyrics really stick in your head just by the way he sings it. So if someone ever said, I've got something to tell you, in my head, it's, I've got something to tell you. I've got something to share here. Yeah.
A smile on face. I came very close. I don't know if it's one of those ones that we want to just drop in now and then decide if it stays in or not.
Okay.
I don't know how loose the subject title was. One of the clips that I kept going back to that I just decided against because I didn't think it kind of was classed as music was, have you ever seen the Christmas special of Stars in Their Eyes from years ago where they did Band Aid?
No.
And you had loads of tribute acts on stage at the same time doing...
Oh, wow, that sounds up my street.
It's very, very good.
Shall we look for it now? So
I think Stars in Their Eyes Band Aid, we'll get you there. I don't think there's going to be many different...
I like these kind of compilation stars in there. No, I spot that wrong. Not happy with that. And again, Stars in Their Eyes. Stars There Were Stevie Wonder was brilliant as well.
That is good. Yeah.
Is it We Are the World or Band Aid?
It's Do They Know It's Christmas? It's Band Aid.
Is that 1992?
Yeah.
This looks very Barrymore. And are these celebrities or are these just normal people off the street?
Or, you know, over the course of a couple of series.
Oh, good old Matthew Kelly. Right, hold tight. Are they going to be in the right order?
I don't even know if they are mimicking the correct order of this song or if it's just they've just used what they had at their disposal.
So is the first person Paul Young?
Nope.
Ah, there we go. I think Paul Young and then Boy George, isn't it?
No, so it's not.
It's Christmas time.
Oh, Shirley Bassey, obviously.
At Christmas time. Oh, Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
And in our world of plenty,
not a clue.
We can spread your arms around the world.
Bonnie Tyler?
Maybe. Not gravelly enough, though.
Cliff. But I can tell by sight. Good Cliff. Fuck off, George Michael. Nope. Oh, Roxy Music?
No. Well, Engelbert Humperdinck, maybe.
Yeah.
Look, there.
Yeah. Beatles haircuts, bit of a shake. Christopher? Is the bloke Tina Turner? Also, we
or
might
Rod
have.
Hull.
Yeah. If that was Rod Hull and Emu, we might have invented a really good game here. Oh, it's bad, isn't it? But also brilliant.
Was just entered the stage.
Yeah, I think I've seen a Tom Jones as well.
Yeah.
I know that's Mick Jagger. That is not Mick Jagger. Janet Jackson, just from the clothing.
There he is.
He just looks like a Radio 1 DJ from the
60s. Yeah. Elton John. He looks like Timmy Mallett.
Yeah, he's got like a hat FM. Oh, Tina Turner's on point, but her singing isn't that great. That is a Chinese Engelbert Humperdinck or a Chinese Tom Jones. What would your guess be?
I think it looks more like Engelbert, but then yeah. I called Engelbert earlier, so I'm wrong on that one.
Bingleback, Bengalback, slop bum wallop, right. From someone from the Wurzels, maybe. Or the Commitments. I feel with Janet Jackson that they had the outfit before the performer, and then like, maybe just put that on and go out there.
Yeah, like a Partridge Amongst the Pigeons.
Yeah. As like this lady here, I don't think's had her own part. She's just there, isn't she? No idea who that
is. Yeah, like Carl Power.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
Please subscribe to us at youtubereviewpodcast.blogspot.com or see us on Twitter at RockleRussell1.